Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we are talking about opioid addiction.
We were spurred to this topic by a couple things. One is the cover of the December issue of Christianity Today. Cover article, Painkillers, How Good Church People Become Addicts and How They Recover. And we're also spurred to this just because it's a live issue in our own church. This is more and more a concern for American society as a whole. And so that means it's affecting our church and other churches. There are Christians who are caught up in this. And so it's something we need to talk about. And so we thought this Christianity Today cover article, that would be a good chance for us to dive into this conversation a little bit. And I think there are two desires I have in this podcast. One is to put this on your radar, if it's not on your radar, that you know some of the sort of contours of this struggle. And secondly, that if you find that this describes you, that you begin to feel provoked to reach out for some help and to lean into the community around you to begin to identify what's going on. Let me read a few statistics from this article that may surprise you. By the way, opioids obviously are a particular class of painkillers widely prescribed in the United States. More than 240 million prescriptions were written for legal opioids in 2014, more than enough for every adult in the United States to have their own bottle. In the last 15 years, opioid overdose deaths quadrupled, as did the sale of prescription opioids. So basically in the last decade and a half, a quadrupling in the number of prescriptions written for this drug and a quadrupling in overdose deaths from this drug. The other thing that's pertinent here is that 4 out of 5 heroin addicts started with prescription opioid medications. That doesn't mean if you have an opioid problem, you're going to become a heroin addict. But what it means is this is a gateway drug to heroin. And the reason is because these opioid medicines over time lose their effectiveness. And so the only someone who becomes chemically dependent on opioid painkillers, the next strongest thing that gives the same sensation is heroin. And so for that reason, this easily leads toward heroin addiction. That doesn't, again, that doesn't mean it will, but it means it can. 44% of all drug overdose deaths in the U.S. come from prescription opioid pain relievers. So what those stats need to show you is this is a pressing epidemic in American society. This is all over the place. And it's on my radar as a pastor because there are 3 different situations that have taken place in our own church in the last year with people struggling with this. And so it's common. It's out there. And we want to talk about it. We want to sort of have a chance to chop it up and to talk about particularly this Christianity Today article, which is interesting. We're actually going to do 2 podcasts. So the next podcast next week, we're going to tackle some of the sort of theological questions this article raises surrounding addiction. But all we want to do in the first podcast is just sort of identify the reality of opioid addiction and put it on the radar for people as probably one of the – actually what's quickly becoming the most common sort of drug epidemic in the United States. So if you've followed social science or drug policy at all, you know that sort of drugs of choice go in waves, right? So you had the big crack cocaine epidemic back in the 1990s. That was sort of a big thing. Then that sort of died out. You obviously have, if you paid attention even in the presidential election, the thing that's on the radar right now is heroin, and that's quickly becoming a drug of choice. And the reason heroin's on the radar is because of the way opioid pain medications pave the way for that. And so, again, for some people who have chronic pain, man, opioids one of the only class of drugs that actually works for that. And the dangerous thing about it is it builds a pretty significant chemical dependency quickly. So your body quickly becomes dependent on it. And so for people who are caught in this little dance of I have chronic pain that I can't literally live with, it's debilitating. And yet the drug that I need to relieve that chronic pain has a quick ability to create chemical dependency. That obviously puts people in a really a tough pickle, and that's the reason why this is becoming a pretty significant problem in America. Guys, any personal or pastoral experience with this?
Yes. Pastorally, I've been in situations where people will bring this to light as a sin of addiction. But what's interesting is those people have been, in our cases, in pain. And so there's been some legitimate pain, back pains, whatever kinds of pains, car accident pains, et cetera, that get them into this. And then when the bottle is empty, there's a sense of anxiety, which then pushes into the addiction realm.
Well, and that's just an important for listeners who this is a new conversation for. That's an important nuance, because I think when we think of addiction, our mindset can go toward, you know, the sort of pleasure seeker who just sort of like is, you know, looking for an escape. They're looking for a high. This addiction is usually different, because it usually does start with some real experience of pain that requires a prescription. And so for a lot of this kind of addicts, folks who are dependent on opioids, it really begins because that substance does do something to remove pain. So we need to have, I think, a broad category of addiction in the church that recognize, but there's some people in our churches who are addicts because they've just sought pleasure and they're sort of escapists. There are others who are addicted or dependent because they have chronic pain, or because they've gone through a difficult medical experience and have become dependent on a substance in light of that.
It's interesting that the Christianity Today article highlights the story of this guy named Tim, and he tells the narrative of him and his doctor having this conversation, and the doctor basically says, I'm not saying that you're not in pain. I'm just saying that now you're addicted to this pain medicine, and so now we got to start treating your health a little bit differently. And so it's obvious that it's a different type of drug. It's not a hallucinating drug. It's a drug that you actually end up being addicted to because you began it for a legitimate reason, and then you slide into addiction.
Well, and I actually walked with a friend recently who was trying to sort of figure out, is there a difference between dependence and addiction? And there actually is. It's sort of a fine line. It's a carefully nuanced line. Dependence refers to the physiological reality that over time your body becomes physiologically dependent on a substance, especially painkillers, right? So they create a particular neural and biological pathway in your body, and your physiology changes and you become dependent on that substance. And so that's when you see people experience withdrawal, right? People have this with caffeine too. Like if you go off coffee and you get a headache, or, you know, those kinds of things. So this isn't unique to sort of this class of drugs. So there is such a thing as physiological dependence. That crosses the line into addiction when it becomes sort of compulsive. So addiction is a little more complex. You know, people become compulsive to sort of seeking out after the drug in often deceitful ways. People start making moral compromises in order to get the drug. So you see those sort of addictive pathway behaviors. The word addiction is a little bit more of a description of a compulsive complex, whereas dependency is just the word that describes the physiological reality that you've become dependent on a substance. And so it's possible for people to have chemical dependency and to realize, gosh, this is bad. I need to get on top of this. And often doctors can be very helpful there and just saying, okay, yep, you are dependent. Let's begin to sort of reduce the dosage. Let's figure out if there are other drugs we can get you on that don't have these same dependency issues. And so there is a fine line there, but it's an important line that not all dependency is the same thing as addiction. We spoke a couple weeks ago, guys, about gambling. Mm-hmm. And we talked about sort of the interesting social factors there. Here's what the CT article mentions. In 2007, the top executives of Purdue Pharma pled guilty and were subject to over $600 million in fines for intentionally misleading doctors and the public by labeling their prize drug, OxyContin, as abuse resistant. Representatives meeting with doctors were shown to have encouraged off-label uses of the opioid while downplaying the high patients would get and dismissing concerns about addiction. Mm. So anytime you have a sort of a large-scale social phenomenon, you always have this sort of economic incentive piece where there's pharmaceutical companies that obviously they make their money off the sales of these drugs. And so there's oftentimes an unwillingness to reckon with the addictive power of these substances and call it what it is. And so in this particular case of OxyContin, that's certainly been part of the dynamic. In other words, doctors are prescribing it more, which means more people have access to it, which is only going to increase the challenge of the way that it can make people dependent upon it.
So what's the answer then? Is the answer then like, let's get these drugs off the market, or is the answer regulation of these drugs, or like what's the suggestion people are making other than stop being addicted to them?
Yeah, I think Christianity Today is just trying to say, hey, it needs to be okay in the church for people to come forward with this stuff. It needs to be okay. The church needs to be a context where someone can say, hey, man, I have a dependency. I'm addicted. I've become dependent on this substance. Can I get some help? Mm. So CT, I think, is just trying to put this on the radar and say, hey, church, hey, pastor, you need to be aware that people in your congregation are going to struggle with this. Mm. So I think that's the first step as we think about even pastorally, Mike, is just making it a... Because drug addiction tends to be such a like dramatic category for people, right? Like if you're an addict, you're like on a different level of sinner than, you know, than the average person, or at least that's how some Christians think. And so I think there is a need for us to be more sober in our understanding and say, hey, this stuff is present, it's real, and it does not mean the people who struggle with this are going to start shooting heroin next week. It might mean they need the freedom to come forward and say, hey, I got this prescription and I can't get off it and I need some help.
Yeah. And I think the CT article also highlights Tim in his story where he's describing this narrative with his doctor, and the doctor says, Tim, you need to know that you're addicted to pain medicine. His response is really key. And so if this describes you, his posture is one of humility and teachability, because he says, I felt my stomach drop and then my defenses started to rise. And then all the stereotypes of addicts I didn't think I had started creeping into my mind. Because I was legitimately in pain, I thought I couldn't be an addict. So then he basically goes on to talk about how his doctor helped him see that clearly, that, hey, you're probably in pain, but you're also addicted. And so the very thing that's been helping you in your pain is now the problem. That's a different kind of pain. And so I think the posture here is very important, which is what we mentioned earlier. You could be in legit pain, and now all of a sudden you're into this addiction cycle. And the posture here is one of humility and teachability. Just to be able to say, hey, you know, the car accident 6 months ago was legit, but now I don't know what to do when this bottle gets empty. I've considered, you know, getting rid of grocery money or start, you know, like when it starts getting shady in your own mind, that's when you need to reach out and ask for help, I think.
And in addition to that, Mike, more and more doctors are, this is getting put on the radar societally so that doctors see the need to say, okay, let's offer help here. Mm-hmm. So just as you would go to a pastor or a church community and say, hey, I need help confronting this, you know, there's probably also a step of going to a doctor and saying, hey, look, I need help getting off this. Because sometimes what needs to happen is, obviously you can't go cold turkey. It's addictive. The whole point is I can't get off it tomorrow. I can't stop tomorrow. And so there needs to be sort of a medical pathway of decreasing the dosage or changing or offering a different substance that's not as addictive. So there's a medical solution as well as a spiritual one.
I think the other caveat here is for all of us that when you face legitimate pain, which I think everybody's going to, and then the doctor just starts throwing some medicine at you to get you out of the office, so to speak, I think it's important for us to kind of have a gut check and go, well, I'm a little educated on that. Could I have something else? Especially if you have addictive behavior in your background, right? Mm-hmm. Like being an alcoholic or being saved out of addiction in some other way. I think it's important just to say, hey, I'm aware of what these kinds of things could do. Could I get a different kind of Tylenol, you know?
So another angle on this, as we were getting ready to do this podcast, a friend who's a listener sent me an article from the Wall Street Journal about how this is affecting children in the foster care system. And I glanced at the article and was like, oh, this looks helpful. And I sent it to you guys and then I didn't read it. So Chris, you were just saying you had read it over lunch.
Depressing.
And it was pretty disturbing. Yeah. What are some of the realities that, so as we think about opioids and the way they connect to heroin, what are the broader social factors, consequences related to this epidemic?
Well, the Wall Street Journal article, a little bit different than the Christianity article. This is dealing more with straight up heroin addiction, illegal drug use, to the point where moms and dads completely lose the ability to take care of their kids. Like this drug addiction has completely wiped them out, lose their jobs, living in squalor. I mean, you read that article and some of the descriptions of when the social worker and the police officer walk into the house or the apartment and just see the living conditions of these kids. And just don't read the article while you're eating lunch like I did, because it's just very graphic and very disturbing to paint this picture of how the drug use has damaged these individuals and these families. Goes on to talk about how it highlights both several grandparents who have had to adopt their grandchildren because their son or daughter had OD'd and died or had even lost parental rights. And then it also talked about the foster care system and how more and more of these children are entering into the foster care system and folks are adopting them. But some of these kids are coming in because their mom was addicted to heroin when she was pregnant. They're born with this addiction. And so they have to go through their own withdrawal process. And when you're taking a little baby that's a foster child or adopting and watching this kid scream all night because they're coming off this high and this withdrawal and just the challenges of that. And then trying to bond with this child. So it's a very stark article. But I think the point that it's really trying to drive home is the social consequences of drug addiction. The foster system is being inundated. You have grandparents who should be, one grandparent talks about, my ideal situation with this child was to spoil them and then send them home. But now I'm having to be a dad again or a mom again. And one guy saying I have to put off retirement and I might not even live to see this kid become a teenager because of age. And so just the strain on these grandparents as well. And so there is certainly societal implications for kind of the darker side of this drug addiction that, you know, and to the point, I think the church being aware of this, I mean, we talk a lot about the church being pro-adoption, pro-foster care. This is what this means. I mean, we enter into that world and want to be a presence and a light in that world. These are the kind of families you're going to be in touch with. These are the kind of kids that we're going to be encountering. And so just an awareness of what they're coming out of as kids and some of the dynamics of both their physical, like the physical makeup of these kids, if they've been born addicted, or just the dynamics with their parents.
So I want to throw out the invitation to listeners. If you've sort of walked through an opioid dependence or addiction and you'd be willing to come on and talk about it, we'd love that. I didn't put out the ask to the three different people I've walked with over the past year just because those stories are still a little too fresh. And we want to give time and space for sort of healing and processing. But I just think this is... I was not surprised to read this article because I was just like, yeah, anytime that something's on my radar three times in 12 months, it's because it's a live thing. It's a real issue. And again, none of the people involved are substance seeking kind of people. They're all folks who, for various medical reasons, started down a pathway and found themselves stuck in a place where they'd become dependent on a substance. And so part of what we want to do is just sort of bring this forward into the light and make it okay to say, hey, I need some help here. If you don't feel okay saying that, I'd encourage you to ask why. And because sometimes there's a shame associated with this kind of behavior. Just like, well, if people found out, right, then I would, they'd see me a certain way. And I think, well, that's the same kind of shame that prevents us from confessing any sin, right? Is a sense of like, well, if people really knew, how would they treat me? And the gospel frees us to say, well, who cares? Jesus has died for it. And so I can bring it into the light and seek help and bring it into the context of community where I can. One fascinating point that the article in Christianity Today makes is that what most addicts need to actually overcome their addiction is community, is connectedness, relationship. Because anytime you feel isolated, what addiction does is it pushes you further into isolation, right? And so you tend to further your addiction because you become isolated and feel like I'm the only one that knows what this is like. And so as you move toward community and toward relationship, it actually defeats some of the psychological power, especially of that addiction and of the ways that we justify and rationalize it based on our isolation. Just as a parting thought and trying to give as much helpful context and data as we can, let's mention this. So there's actually two back-to-back articles here in Christianity Today. One is the story of this guy, Tim, that you mentioned, Dusty. And then one is an article by an MD doctor who's sort of just describing, hey, let me give you a context for understanding addiction. And he says, we need to recognize at least four dimensions in addiction: biological, social, moral, and spiritual. And so in thinking about any addiction, it's helpful to have these four categories, that there's a biological reality, which is, you know, the way the article describes it is you're creating chemical pathways in your body and in your brain, especially, that are going to require this substance. You know, you create neural connections. It's just like we've talked about in our podcast on pornography. The nature of any addiction is it rewires your brain, and it's you're messing with sort of the pleasure and reward pathways of the brain. And over time, that becomes a really dangerous thing to do. So there's a biological factor. There's the social factor, which is obviously this is a social academic, and the connection is what I just said, that the answer is connectedness and community, that we can only to put the article in sort of the vernacular, we can only ever overcome addiction in community, the context of redemptive community. And then finally, the moral and spiritual piece of, we have to acknowledge ourselves as moral actors and as spiritual beings who are made in the image of God and who have a responsibility before God for our lives and for the choices that we make. And so anytime we try to back this language of addiction into the corner of biology and sociology and just say, well, I'm dependent on it, and you know, I've been around people who use it, and we sort of take ourselves out of the responsibility to make choices, I think we're moving in an unhealthy direction. So those are four helpful categories for me, because it helps me know that, man, as I pastor people through these various challenges, I got to recognize the spiritual and moral components, but also the social component and the biological component. Those are four helpful categories, I think, for me to have just in walking with folks.
Bob, can you give us the titles of those Christianity Today articles that you just mentioned?
The first one is Just Say No to Shame. That's the story of this guy, Tim, who sort of narrates personally his story of opioid addiction. And then the second one is titled Four Aspects of Recovery. And that's the social, psychological, or social, biological, moral, spiritual are the four aspects. So yeah, you can find those in the December 2016 issue, which I'm sure is online. And so folks can probably go and read it for themselves.
You can also check out the Wall Street Journal article that Chris mentioned, The Children of the Opioid Crisis.
All right, finally, you should know this, and this is a ministry we have that sort of we don't publicize much, but we actually run a ministry at Cormdale called Christian Recovery, built on some material that was written by our friends at Providence Austin. And it's a 12-step recovery program that's deep in sort of gospel saturation. So basically some guys who had gone through AA took the 12 steps of AA, and they just reframed those in light of gospel categories of idolatry and freedom and repentance. And so, man, if that would be a helpful ministry to you, if you're in Omaha and you're listening, I'd encourage you to reach out. We'd love to connect you with the folks who run that, and it's a helpful it's a helpful pathway for folks to sort of step out of addiction and be honest about it.
That's really helpful, Bob. The thing I want to mention about that is I think sometimes we can listen to other spiritual leaders like pastors like us on this podcast, and that's coming through your earbuds, but you're nervous about somebody connecting with your addiction. And what's great about Christian Recovery is it's people who have struggled through addiction or maybe currently are struggling through addiction in community helping each other. And so I think that's really important to recovery.
Well, one of my heroes, one of my favorite redemption stories in Cormdale that we haven't told it publicly, but is a doctor friend of mine who found himself addicted to this kind of pain medicine and really had some effects on his career. But out of that and out of his humility and walking through that, man, he had a powerful testimony to everybody that he worked with because they watched him go through this. And man, he would say to you, if he were on this podcast, I've you know, corresponded back and forth with him, he would say, man, Jesus is the only thing that got me out of that. Like Jesus and repentance are the only things that sort of pulled me out of where I was. And so it's really fun to be in a church where those are the stories we get to tell and where people are comfortably honest enough to walk in the power of the gospel and in freedom to come out of this kind of stuff. So if that's you and you're in it right now, know that people have gone before you and people are here to walk with you.
That's going to do it for today's podcast. If you are interested in Christian Recovery or just the topic that we talked about today, please shoot us an email at podcast@cdomaha.com. And we hope that you join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation. Until then, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.